Hey folks, you guys know I'm always diving into the dark corners of history, unearthing the stories that are sure to chill. Mastering the art of storytelling and research isn't just a passion, it's a craft. That's why I turn to Masterclass. Whether I'm analyzing historical documents or piecing together ghostly tales, Masterclass has been an invaluable resource in honing my skills. Masterclass lets you learn from over 200 of the world's best minds right at your fingertips. And the best part is it's all available for just $10 a month with an annual membership. I've been particularly captivated by the class on investigative journalism taught by Pulitzer Prize winner Bob Woodward. His insights into uncovering the truth may have transformed the way I approach each episode here. What's incredible is that 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. And trust me, I'm one of them. The depth of knowledge and practical tips I've gained have boosted my confidence and enriched the content that I bring to you every week. As a listener of Haunted American History, you get an exclusive 15% off an annual membership. Just visit masterclass.com/haunted. That's masterclass.com/haunted to save 15% on limitless learning. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you going to lose? Don't wait. Join me and start transforming your passions into expertise by visiting masterclass.com/haunted. I'll see you there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the pages of the Trenton Times, January 20th, 1909. Fly rival of Leeds Devil has Jersey people frightened. Hoofprints in the snow, whirring noises in the air, and other uncanny manifestations reach Bordentown and Mount Holly after making sensation in lower counties where natives remain indoors after sundown. The residents of Bordentown, Mount Holly, Burlington, Gloucester, and Woodbury, and many other towns in Woodbury and Gloucester counties are greatly excited and mystified over the discovery of curious hoof prints, made it is thought by some strange animal not as of yet classified by scientist or nature faker. The trail of the beast, although no one is known to have seen the creature, leads to the belief that the animal is two-legged, with hooves like a horse, has wings and is able to fly, possesses a remarkable form so that it may crawl through a hole less than a foot in diameter, and is sufficiently cat-like to on fences and over chicken coops that would not bear a 20-pound weight. Skillman, a little village near here, was the first place to report having seen a strange animal. Since then, the odd tracks have been followed for many miles and covered a strip of county 3 miles wide. Old residents of South Jersey are recalling that in the winter of 1894, tracks were made by an unknown beast in the vicinity of Point Leeds, and the creature became famous as the Point Leeds Devil. There was a similar...
Hi, everyone.
Oh, boy. Welcome to Haunted American History. Folklore Fireside. I almost flubbed the name right off the bat. I am your host, Christopher Feinstein. You know me from Haunted American History. I'm doing something a little different, a little bit out of my comfort zone tonight. Before I get started, I would like to bring in my co-host. Haunted American History usually doesn't have a co-host, but it does now. To the Folklore Fireside, that would be my wife, Mrs. Haunted. Megan, introduce yourself to everybody. Say hello.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Chris's wife, Megan, Mrs. Haunted. Very excited to hang out and do this because we have no life on a Friday night.
That's true. We have a child. Before I even go any further into exploring the Jersey Devil folklore, that clip that I played is from an early episode that I did on the show. And God, how I ever amassed any kind of listeners is beyond me, because that the audio on that was so bad. And Megan, see, she has lost for words. She doesn't even know how to react to.
Well, I was waiting for you to keep going, but
no, I have nothing else to say on that. It was terrible.
I will say your audio has vastly improved.
Oh, yeah. I finally figured out sort of what I was doing.
But listen, you started during the pandemic. We were in a basement. You know, you had not a lot of equipment, and it took you time. But you're right. I mean, remember when you hit 100 downloads and you're like, oh, my gosh. I
was freaking out. It was like the greatest day ever.
So, listen, you got to start somewhere. People obviously like your storytelling. And here we are. So,
yeah.
But yes, I can tell the audio difference.
Oh, my God. It's so loud. The music was so loud. Like, what was I doing? Anyway, we are going to talk about, I figured the first episode of this Folklore Fireside, is we'll talk about our friendly neighborhood, Jersey Devil, something that, you know, is familiar to us because of where we live. And Megan, you grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in New York. I talked about it constantly on the show. Did you like hear about the Jersey Devil growing up? Was that like a tale that was told?
So yes and no. So I think it kind of depends where in Jersey you're from. So I grew up, and I'll fight this to the end, that there is a Central Jersey. If there's any Jersey listeners out there, I grew up in Central Jersey. You know, we learned about it. We always heard things about it. We knew kind of the backstory about the Jersey Devil. But it was never such an important part of like the culture. But then my family moved to Ocean County, where it's basically your backyard is the Jersey Devil's home. Mm-hmm. So you definitely see more cultural references in the area that we're in now. People have stories, sightings. It's like a night and day difference just being like 45 minutes further south.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
I don't know if New York, I grew up in Brooklyn. Well, I grew up on Staten Island, but I was born in Brooklyn, lived there till I was about 10, 11, 12, something like that. And the rest of my life was on Staten Island, but we really didn't have, there's Cropsey. He was a killer on Staten Island. There's a whole folktale about that, but he's not really like a mythical creature. He was just a nut. But yeah, I think the Jersey Devil it's the way it started. Well, let me go back. Let's go back all the way to 1735. That's when the Jersey Devil folklore really began in the Pine Barrens. And to celebrate the Jersey Devil in the Pine Barrens, I am enjoying a Pine Barrens beverage, a Busch Light, the national beer of the Pine Barrens.
I am not having alcohol quite yet, but I am having, I don't know if it's going to come into focus, a delicious cold brew coffee.
Yeah, we've been really going ham on cold brews lately.
It's my favorite thing ever.
So anyway, let's go back to 1735, where Jane Leeds gave birth to her 13th child. Now, the story tells that Mother Leeds, she had obviously 12 children if the Jersey Devil was the 13th, but after she found out she was pregnant for the 13th time, imagine going through that.
No.
13 pregnancies.
No, as a mom of one, I can't imagine a second.
Yeah, 13 would be 13, unlucky number for all, it turns out. She was really pissed that she was pregnant for a 13th time, and she cursed her child. She cursed them to the devil. And when the child was born, it came out as a normal child. And then things started happening. The kid started to grow hooves, started to grow bat wings, a forked tail popped out of the old coolie, and a goat head then formed. And one night the child was screaming and growling and just took off like a shot into the night sky.
And apparently through the chimney, right?
Yes. It jumped out of up the chimney, reverse Santa Claused it, and it shot out through the chimney. And, you know, there are some different versions of the folklore that says the mother, Mrs. Leeds, was a witch, and the father was the devil. So, I mean, no matter which one, you know, the devil was involved regardless. But the story has been in New Jersey forever. People are scared to cross the Pine Barrens. There's people that won't even go into the Pine Barrens, especially during winter. Winter is the big pine. Right now, we're in prime Jersey Devil season. But the crazy part about this, now, there's a ton of folklore stories about monsters and things. And like what I want to do really with this fireside kind of thing, which we're going to try so hard to do this every Friday because we have no lives. But I want to try and spread out a little bit more towards like just folklore in general, worldwide folklore. Because I know like on the show, normally I stick with America. So obviously Haunted American History is that's right there in the title, Chris. But yeah, we're going to move into more kind of worldly folklore, as it were. But anyway, so the eyewitness accounts of this creature it's staggering, and it runs right up until like recent. There are people still today who swear they've seen the Jersey Devil. One of the first reported sightings took place in 1812, and it was Napoleon, you know, the Napoleon guy, the little guy, his older brother, Joseph. He claimed he had an estate in Bordentown. Now, I don't know where Bordentown is. I'm embarrassed because, you know, I live in New Jersey, but I don't know where anything. The only things I know in New Jersey is my house. I know how to get to Roy Rogers down the block. And I know how to go to work. Those are the only three things I know how to get to in New Jersey. So Bordentown, I have no idea where that is. Megan, do you know where
it's like northwest of us.
Okay. So regardless, it's down in the Pine Barrens. So he had an estate there, and that's where he saw this creature where it just attacked all the animals in his area. He saw footprints in the snow surrounding his home. Strange footprints, hoof prints that didn't match any kind of local animals from the area. And that was really one of the first reported sightings. Like if you go through history, that's really the first one. And, you know, Joseph Bonaparte, I mean, I guess he's a credible witness, I guess. I know. But what happened, it really didn't solidify itself until the early 1900s, around 1909. When thousands of reports came pouring in from in the South Jersey area. Eyewitnesses claiming to see a creature running through the woods, behind their homes, in their chicken coops, attacking their animals, their livestock. There was a Navy commander in the Pine Barrens at Hanover Mills Works that they made cannonballs, and they tested cannonballs at this area, and his name was Stephen Decatur. He was a Navy commander, and he saw the creature. The creature came out of the woods while he was testing munitions. I guess that's what you call cannonballs and munitions, maybe. And he shot at it with a cannonball, and apparently he hit it. This guy must have been some shot because he blasted a flying creature out of the sky with a cannonball, and he blew a hole clean through it. But what happened was he watched it drop, and then he watched it scurry away. And when he went to where the body was supposed to be, there was just strange tracks were found in the field. And apparently he said, you know what, we got to find this thing. I don't know what this was. I just shot it in the woods with a cannonball. I hope I didn't piss it off. That would have been my first reaction. I hope I didn't really anger this thing.
That's what you got to worry about, because it's coming
Coming back, right? If I just grazed him, No, thanks. He's coming. He's not going to be, excuse me, Chris. Remember me from yesterday? You shot me with a cannonball. That was like that night I heard the fox outside the house, and I was afraid to look out the window because I thought it was going to be a monster out there that was going to get me.
It legitimately sounded like a woman screaming for help.
Woke us up out of our dead sleep.
It was the most terrifying thing, and we were like, what is going on?
I think it was a fox. That's what I can only assume, that it was a fox. But, yeah, I said, I ain't doing that. I ain't going, Chrissy ain't crossing that street. We're gonna close these blinds and close the eyes and hit the hay. But he went and he got the dogs. He got the bloodhounds, and he went to where the body was, and the dogs picked up a scent, but they refused to follow. So take that as what you will. There was a school in the area, and they closed schools for the week while they were hunting the Jersey Devil back in 1909. And they closed down the Pine Barrens, pretty much, in that whole area.
Reached all the way to Philly, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It didn't just live in South Jersey. It spread all the way into Philly. It died out for a little while after that whole rush of calls and sightings and attacks, until 1927, when a taxi driver in Salem City, again, another place I don't know where that is. Where's Salem City? Do we know where Salem City is?
I actually don't know.
I have no idea. Well, he encountered the Jersey Devil while he was on the side of the road changing a flat tire in 1927. Did they have cars in 1927? They did, right?
Yes.
What kind of flat tire could he possibly have? Did they have like all those kind of things? I'm so backwards when it comes to like the way time works.
I don't know what tires would have been. I mean, I guess like how something
they,
with air.
They have a jack? I mean, I thought it was donkeys still.
Maybe somebody in the chat can help us.
Yeah, can someone fact check that? Were there cars in 1927? There definitely were cars in 1927. I'm just playing a little fun. But anyway, he was changing a tire, and he told police that a winged creature was pounding on the roof of his car. And frightened him something awfully bad and sent him retreating into the woods. Now, would you retreat into the woods? I don't think I would.
No, that's like home territory.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know the woods. The devil knows the woods.
Yeah, we got corrected. Wooden rims, rubber tires.
Attaboy. Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. Maybe the devil needed a lift, and that's why he was pounding on the cab. I've seen some crazy things and people looking for cabs, especially in New York.
Are cabs a thing still with Uber and everything?
Yeah, I'd imagine. Like I remember when, like, growing up, I used to like call like the taxi, like if we were going out.
I did that in college. We're like, yeah, who has $5? Let's get in the cab and go.
Yeah, it was so. Imagine like you just called the number, and they were always so angry. Whoever that picked up the phone, they were just so mad, and they were just, yeah, where are you going? No, they didn't even, it wasn't even hello.
No,
it was where are you going?
And they because I went to school in New York, so I mean, like when I was away at college, I was in New York, and it's not the nicest of people. Like
10 minutes. All right, well, relax. What do you want me to do? Sorry, I called you, I guess. I don't, you know what? I apologize. You want me to drive?
I'm keeping the $5, though, if I drive.
We'll split it. The next really reported sightings came in the 60s, and it was in Maze Landing. And several residents in Maze Landing heard horrible, horrible screams at night. And like much like maybe I heard the Jersey Devil. That scream, I thought it was a fox, but maybe.
You know what? I think that thing comes running on our porch because there's some unexplained sounds that I hear sometimes.
Yeah, this thing, there's scurrying going on.
A lot of heavy thudding scurrying.
Thudding scurrying. Like it's like. A buffalo. We have wild buffalo out in this part of the town. That's the only explanation. Either that or it's a very large dog trying to get in.
Old JD is coming to visit. That's all.
Yeah. JD's knocking. Speaking of knocking some JD.
Some BL, some Bush Light.
BL. police hung flyers. I think I played one of them during the beginning. Was one of the flyers that assured residents. Oh wait, no, that was for the reward. That was the one that a circus owner created to try to create buzz around his circus. It was like viral marketing, where he put up an award for anyone who can capture the beast and bring it to him so he can put it in his circus. And it's like, oh, by the way, my circus is in town. So, I mean, it's kind of clever. Where there was one I saw from where we live, Meg.
The sighting?
In our town, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when it was, but somebody said they were driving on Route 9 around 10 o'clock at night. And, saw a creature that looked exactly like all of the drawings and reports from previous sightings. Stood 10 feet tall over the road, hoofed, goat head, all, you know, everything. And that was someone, I think, from our town submitted that sighting. And it, like, two cars stopped dead in the road in front of the person who reported it. Is this the same one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was three different cars, right?
Yeah, three cars total, and I think the person who reported the sighting was that third car. Mm. Yeah, so crazy. So right in town.
That's like right up the road.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, I'm not sure when that was, but relative, you know, recently.
Right.
With that many cars on Route 9, so.
Now we know very well. I've talked about it many, many times about my major distrust for any kind of national or state park in this country. I just did a video on the national parks and the disappearances there. I've done stories about it on the podcast. I've talked about it on the podcast. Anytime I come across a story of a national park, I will mention it. There is a New Jersey forest ranger who is an expert in the wildlife that inhabits the place that he patrols. And this is a Wharton State Forest. He's the chief ranger, Alan McFarlane. In 1980, he saw something that both grossed him out completely and stumped him on all of his animal knowledge that he has accumulated during his career. He walked upon a brutal scene where a pack of pigs had been killed. But he reported that the way they were killed matched no animal that he knows of, that they were sprawled out and their heads were eaten through the back of their heads. And their bodies were just ripped and torn like something was holding on to them, pinning them to the ground and just eating the back of their heads.
I really don't love this because a pig is my favorite animal.
Oh, you love pigs, yeah.
And that, like, totally breaks my heart.
Yeah, it was a whole pack of them. And when this, you know, this chief ranger stumbled upon them, there was no blood and there was no tracks on the ground. So he came to the conclusion that whatever did this to these pigs swooped in from above, grabbed them on top, which would explain the way it pinned them to the ground and which would explain the way it attacked them.
JD, man.
Yeah.
You got to have respect.
Listen, the guy, he's got his home turf. He knows what he likes. He likes some bacon in the morning. another time in the 80s, there was a group of friends who were camping in the Pine Barrens, which I would strongly discourage. That him and his buddies, they went dirt bike riding, which happens constantly. This is the, you know, you always see the dirt bikes being trailered, the quads being trailered. They go right into the Pine Barrens, right down the road.
You just found out your cousin's husband.
Yeah.
Comes
to our town from, you know, Central Jersey, North Jersey, wherever he is.
To ride his ATVs.
Yeah, him and his buddies come and ride. I was like, really?
That town? Where I live? But yeah, they were there doing that, and suddenly all of their bikes, while they were in the middle of riding, just suddenly stalled out, and that's when they heard the scream, the piercing, inhuman scream that they all, that everybody who's witnessed anything of the Jersey Devil has described, and the thing that was outside my window that night. That I swear to God now, it's not a fox anymore. That was the Jersey Devil.
It was. He was saying hello.
Why didn't I put two and two together?
Just a little reminder that he's here.
That's all. I was so tired. That's why I didn't put it together. I thought it was a file. You know what? It wasn't. Because afterwards, when I got up that morning, I said, what was that? And I Googled. I started going crazy. I was like, what animals scream when, you know, and foxes came up and I played it and I said, you know, it's close, but...
You came something. Running into the room with the sound bite. And you're yeah. like, listen to this.
Listen to this. This is what that thing was. And it was close. It was close. And I said, that comforted me. I was like, oh, it was just a fox. Thank God. But no, not anymore. I'm not sleeping tonight now.
No, how could you?
Because now that I'm talking about it, you know what happens, right?
Coming for another visit.
Now he knows that I know.
Right.
And he's coming.
It's true. I just want to say you haven't commented on my themed attire.
Yeah, I'm ignoring it. I'm ignoring it.
If you guys don't know, Chris is a Rangers fan. I'm not actually really a hockey fan. Take me to a game, I'll have a good time, but I'm a baseball girl. But my first ever hockey game was a Devils game, and I have to represent. So
yeah, and tell them about the time that you told your whole family that you're a Devils fan. They all shunned you. They're like,
they
Devils?
Did, my grandfather... May he rest in peace, was a diehard Rangers fan, like to the point where he would enter contests and he actually won one time a trip for two to go see the Rangers play in Prague. And he went with him, with my uncle, and he had the time of his life. But yeah, so I don't know. It's like New Jersey really doesn't have any home teams. I mean, if you guys are familiar with sports, you know, the Nets got taken from us. They're in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, that was you it. Know? It was just the New Jersey, right? It was New Jersey Nets.
It was the
original.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it.
We have the Jersey Devils, but then, you know, technically the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey, but they're called New York. We don't have a lot of claim to stake here. So, you know what? No. I'm hanging on to the one true New Jersey team.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all I want to say. But I had to call it out.
You had to call it out.
I'm themed for tonight. Listen,
I get it. I know. You're all about it. So back to those guys that were camping. So they did the obvious thing after their bike shut off and they heard screaming going on in the woods. They decided to go get sauced. So they went to just some hole-in-the-wall bar down near where they were. And they started talking to the locals. As you do when you go to one of these kind of hole-in-the-wall bars. And that's what normal people do. I don't. I stay far, far away. And I put the jukebox on obnoxious songs. Like Rock Lobster or something along those lines.
Which we listened to the other night.
Rock Lobster. You know Rock Lobster is 7 minutes long?
It's insane. We put What's the video on YouTube with the lyrics and everything, and it was like I think it's like 6:50.
Yeah, that's a man having a nervous breakdown.
Well, I saw that live, and let me tell you.
Oh, he probably goes. They go off. I bet
it was so fun.
I thought it was the Beach Boys for a long time, for most of the start of the song.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there with you.
Yeah, I know what happened. 11 cocktails.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, Rock Lobster, I love the Beach Boys.
You went out of your way to put it on, though.
I did. I shut everything down. I said, we have to listen to Rock Lobster.
We were listening. I don't know if you guys know about Divorced Dad Rock.
Oh, my God.
We went out to dinner. We had a little date night. My parents stayed in the house while the baby was sleeping. And then we came home and we decided to just continue and drink and... You know, we have like a dance party, so
yeah, we do it once a month. Once a month, we put on YouTube or Spotify, and mostly it's just I just get sauced in the living room, and Megan shakes her head.
I mean, listen, I usually get a little drunk. This past time, I didn't really drink, But anyway, so you went out of your way.
Yeah. I said, I need to hear Rock Lobster.
So funny. So we shut off Divorced Dad Rock.
Divorced Dad Rock. You have to go on Spotify immediately and search Divorced Dad Rock.
But the bangers playlist was the best.
Yeah, there's two playlists. One of them, the regular Divorced Dad Rock, is like, it's like 400 songs on it. And you know what? They're not listening to that. But then there's Divorced Dad Rock Bangers. And that one, mwah.
So great.
Wonderful.
It's so fun. I love that that's a thing now. So anyway, back to your dirt bikers.
Well, right. Well, anyway, they, like I said before,
they got sauced.
They got sauced and they talked to the locals and the locals were like, oh no, that's the Jersey Devil. You probably shouldn't go back to those woods where your stuff is. You should just leave it there. Go back in the morning. I wouldn't have gone back.
No way.
There's no shot.
No way.
I went around to the bed.
Well, depending how old I would be in this occurrence. Like if I was like a teenager, early 20s, and I was like, yeah, no, it's like whatever.
What?
But now? Yeah. Because it's like, oh, let's go explore.
No shot. The last time I went ghost hunting. We went to another place in Jersey, Clinton Road. And we decided one night to go to Clinton Road to see if the demons and the monsters were there. And I got out of the car for like 11 minutes. And I said, no, thank you. I'm getting right back in and let back in. Close the door. I said, I'll be here when you guys are done. Just leave the keys.
You know what? Born and bred Jersey, I never went to Clinton Road.
Ah, it's overrated.
It's something I feel like I got to do, though.
Those coyotes were running around.
We have coyotes here.
Yeah, but they were like, hey, don't worry. Like standing in like the tree line, waiting for me to turn my back.
All right.
Hey, folks. You guys know I'm always diving into the dark corners of history, unearthing the stories that are sure to chill. Mastering the art of storytelling and research isn't just a passion. It's a craft. That's why I turned to Masterclass. Whether I'm analyzing historical documents or piecing together ghostly tales, Masterclass has been an invaluable resource in honing my skills. Masterclass lets you learn from over 200 of the world's best minds right at your fingertips. And the best part is it's all available for just $10 a month with an annual membership. I've been particularly captivated by the class on investigative journalism taught by Pulitzer Prize winner Bob Woodward. His insights into uncovering the truth may have transformed the way I approach each episode here. What's incredible is that 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. And trust me, I'm one of them. The depth of knowledge and practical tips I've gained have boosted my confidence and enriched the content that I bring to you every week. As a listener of Haunted American History, you get an exclusive 15% off an annual membership. Just visit masterclass.com/haunted. That's masterclass.com/haunted. To save 15% on limitless learning. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, what are you going to lose? Don't wait. Join me and start transforming your passions into expertise by visiting masterclass.com/haunted. I'll see you there.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Where was
I'm
I?
Pausing because I'm reading this chat.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. Reading the chat. I know. It's tough. I try so hard not to stare at it, but...
I've been monitoring and answering, so it's okay.
Yeah, all right, good. But I try not, because I know like this is going to go to audio too, and I just want to do as little editing as possible before it does. There was a recent sighting of the Jersey Devil in Galloway Township in 2015. It was a resident of Little Egg Harbor, which has there's a lovely RV shop down there. Little Egg Harbor. He said he was driving along Route 9 near a golf course when he saw what he thought was a llama walking in and out of the tree line on the side of the road. Now, that's not something you see in your everyday commute, so that would get your attention. And then this llama spread its wings and took off. Now, he captured the beast's image with cell phone. So he took a photo, and the photo went viral. But then, you know, a few days later, people kind of started taking it apart. And, you know, was the photo edited? Was it a Photoshop? And then it kind of, people have their suspicions. I think it was debunked later on, though. I think they kind of, he kind of was like, eh. I made a big joke. It wasn't real. But it was really pretty convincing. I should have probably gotten a photo of that photo, or just the photo itself. It's like Inception, photo Inception.
Yeah, like you're gonna take a photo of the photo and hold and your then, phone up
and,
to the screen
and show
something.
It. Yeah, I'm not gonna just put it on the screen, but
like what my mom does, she takes a photo on her phone of the iPad.
Yeah. Do you remember your first exposure to the Jersey Devil? Like, where did you first hear it? Or
it was definitely probably like in you know, like elementary school. Talking somebody about like, whatever, because like, I mean, it obviously wasn't something really like officially taught in schools, but it was always kind of something you would talk about. So, you know, if we were learning something about folklore, you know, in history class, yeah. It was always kind of like an anecdote,
right?
So, I mean, I can't really remember like the actual first instance, but I don't remember a time not knowing about the Jersey Devil, so I'll put it that way.
I remember when my first exposure to the Jersey Devil, I was 10 and I was a rabid X-Files fan. And I used to try and stay up because it used to come on, I think like 10 o'clock. And I used to try and stay up at night and try and watch it. And I'd be so scared under my covies. But they did an episode of the first season was Jersey Devil. And that's the first time I was like, wait a minute, Jersey, that's, you go there to this family, this monster that lives in there. And it was, you know, it was about the murder of a homeless man, you know, which is, it's very similar to details that happened in the 40s where it was the murder of a homeless man and under strange circumstances in New Jersey. And they thought that, you know, there was rumors going around that it was some sort of an animal attack. And they're blaming it. They blamed it on the Jersey Devil. Because there's like a sect of people who live in the Pine Barrens. Like in tents. Like, you know, unfortunately, that's just what happens. But yeah. So one of those people were potentially attacked by. That's someone I gotta talk to. I gotta venture on in there.
Like to like the 10 cities and stuff.
The 10 cities in the Pine Barrens, yeah. See if anybody ever.
That's a fun resource to go to.
Yeah, I don't know, but fun.
Well, fun in the aspect of they probably have some stories to tell.
Oh, I'm sure they have stories. I don't know what kind of stories I'm going to get, but I'm going to get a story. But, you know, in the episode, Mulder put the pieces together. As he always does. And
Ron will go with you, he said.
Oh, thanks, Ron. I need you go first though. You know, but what I remembered most about that episode was it was the ending that stuck with me. Because afterwards it led them to the Jersey Devil. They discovered it and it was like, oh, you know, what do we do? Blah blah blah. And then usually like they never in the X-Files, they never really stop the monsters or kill them. They kind of just let them go away. It's like, ah, you've learned your lesson. But the ending, it was a dad and his son, and they were hiking through the woods. And the father's telling the son about the Pine Barrens and the history behind it. And he's talking about the Jersey Devil story. And as they're making way through the trail, as they're walking away, a child walks out and he's just listening to them and watching them walk through the woods. And as it like pans away, you see like that he has like hooves and a tail. And It's like, this is the child of the Jersey Devil, I guess. I know what most of you are thinking. Well, this is a young boy, young tender boy of 10, doing awake at such an hour.
You know, my family loved the X-Files. I was too young. I mean, I've seen episodes later on, you know, after it was off the air. But avid X-Files watchers, I remember. It would be like bedtime for me. Be like, all right, good night.
Yeah. There's also a really great episode of Extreme Ghostbusters. Remember that show?
Yeah, I do remember that. My brother was a big fan.
Oh, man. I was so happy when that came on. I have a Ghostbusters tattoo.
It's true, but, you do.
Yeah. But when that show came back. And I'm excited for the new movie. I don't care what anyone says.
I am too. It looks great, I think, from the trailer.
Yeah, people just want to just complain.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
folks
true.
Folks just like to hear themselves complain.
I mean, they have no basis to go off that it's going to be bad because the latest one was so good.
Listen, there's a lot of people who have a lot of problems with that one. Whatever. I liked it.
I had fun.
A lot of fun.
We went with my brother and his son. It was so cute, everybody. We took our nephew. He was, what, 3 at the time?
3. Oh, man. It was so great.
It was so cute. And you would think a 3-year-old is too young to go to the movies. Not our nephew. He is no, so
He's like a 45-year-old man.
He is. He's like an old soul. So tell them what he did in the theater.
So if you've seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, there's the part where they first run into the ghost that eats things. What the hell was his name? Muncher or something, I think they called it. The ghost is in the building. And as the kids are walking through, my nephew just leans over. Now I'm sitting next to him. He leans over to me. He's like, Uncle Chris, I think there's going to be a ghost in there. And it was literally the greatest. I just burst out hysterical laughing in the movie theater.
It was the cutest thing because it was my brother. Cute. Our nephew, you, then me. Yeah. And you leaned over to tell me what he just said. And I was
it was great.
So cute.
I think there's going to be a ghost in there.
But how intently he watched and he observed everything.
He didn't talk. He didn't get restless. He
was the most patient, in tune 3-year-olds like that I've ever seen. And it was just such a fun thing to go to the movies with him. It was very cute. It was his first movie in a movie theater. And it was very cool. He was very excited to go with you because he knew what a big Ghostbusters fan you are.
And he wore your brother's costume.
Yes, from when my brother was a kid. When
your brother was a kid, he saved his old original like Ghostbusters 2 costume.
Yeah, like the jumpsuit.
Like the jumpsuit, right.
It was, wore that. It's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. So, that's the history of the Jersey Devil. Believe it or not, that's. I don't know what I think. I mean, I like to believe, but I also like to be a skeptic. I mean, I believe just about anything. But especially ghost related, it's like you just tell me, oh, there's a ghost in there. All right, that's all I need to hear. I'm not the type of person to be like, there's a ghost in there. Well, I'm gonna go get to the bottom of this one.
I think that would make for a fun spinoff of this, though, is you visiting the places you talk about and just being scared.
Yeah. I want to do that. Like I did the national parks video for YouTube, and I did it from the safety of my own home. But my follow-up video was going to be of Allaire State Park, and there's supposedly like a haunted like blacksmith shop or something in there. And I was going to do like a 50-50 type of thing where like just a talking head talking about the history of it. And then me and my footage there. And it's like, this is the thing. And this is what's happening. And like, oh, there's the Ghostbusters tattoo. You can see it right there.
There it is.
But I chickened out last minute. I was I have 1,000 other things that I'm doing. And it's like, oh, I really want to do more YouTube stuff because I enjoy it, but I also need to figure out how to get better at video editing. And so it doesn't take me 18 hours to edit a video. And then it's like, oh, I gotta.
It's all about the software. We gotta.
Well, it's just the time. It's like, all right, you know, I'd rather be doing the podcast. But then when I get ahead on that, it's like, okay, I'm ahead on that. Let me do a little bit of YouTube stuff. But then it's like, as I'm in the middle of YouTube stuff, it's like, oh, wait, I got more podcast stuff I got to do. Then, yeah, it's just a never ending cycle.
Happens.
I enjoy it.
You have a good time. Right. So, whatever.
Yeah. So that's the, I think that's a good spot. We covered the folklore, went into a little bit. I think this was a fun first jump into the folklore fireside.
I had a good time. I mean, I needed a break from just sitting on the couch watching TV on a Friday night.
So. Yeah. What are we going to watch after this?
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. That's what we've been watching. We just finished Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, guys.
Which is just...
I cried every episode. I can't even think about it. They are just so wholesome and cute, and I love them.
It's really it just warms you watching that.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah. I need season 3.
Love is Blind, on the other hand, just...
I want to throw things at the TV. Yeah, I wish I had some Rotten Tomatoes.
That's what I do. I should be watching, like, I don't know, literally anything else. But that's what I got to do.
No, I got you hooked. When I told you the other day that there is a new Love is Blind season, you said, well, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Ron just said he looks like Megan Fox.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. We're on, what is it, episode 7? Episode 7 tonight.
Yeah. Or it was last night, wasn't it? We're not caught up, though.
We're not caught up, yeah. So that's what we're going to watch tonight.
They're just getting home is what we're up to. They just got home from the like pre-honeymoon vacation thing. Oh,
so great. I love train wrecks.
It really is so fun to watch.
It's so fun. I know I shouldn't. Oh, yeah. I said... Lauren told him to
tell Lauren hi. I miss her. We gotta play Call of Duty.
Yeah. All right, folks. We're gonna call it a night. Thank you everybody for joining me.
This was fun and
Megan. See, I'm used to just saying joining me.
Hey, listen, welcome me back anytime. I love this.
Gonna do this. You're gonna be a regular. And you know what? We'll bring other people on. We're gonna have a little fun. We're just gonna sit around. Folklore and talk things like this. This was good. I guess let's sign off, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody in the chat. It was really fun to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, and, I gotta get more watching the chat. I have to get more watching. I have to get more English.
That's all right. I was keeping up with it. Don't worry.
Yeah, good. You'll do that part. That's good.
You're the main host. I'll monitor the chat. Yes. But it's been fun. So hanging out with you guys and
yeah, a lot of
hearing
fun
about experiences and all that. So
as always, I'm Christopher. What? Why would I say as always? I'm Christopher Feinstein. Like one day it's gonna change. Like I'm gonna say my name is Reginald Flowers. It's like, well, no, your name doesn't just change. Of course you're always. See, I'm so bad at talking.
Oh, this is why your show's not live.
This is exactly why my show's not live, because I just always. And then I'll have that conversation with myself. You understand? Like, I'll do my sign off and I'm like, and as always, I'm Chris. Then I'll stop, I'll hit pause, and I'll just stare like this at the screen. As the anger just intensifies. And then I just curse myself for 5 minutes. And then I call Megan. Megan, did you hear me cursing upstairs? And she's like, no. I'm like, good. And then I go back to recording again.
All right. Well, you know, it happens. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I'm Christopher Feinstein.
I'm Megan Feinstein.
And this is Haunted American History. Folklore Fireside, the Jersey Devil. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us. Me.
Yeah.
Again.
Us.
Okay. You know what? Thank you for joining me. And yeah.
All right. Let's let these people go.
Good night, folks.
Good night.